I want to, you know, talk to you tonight about the threshold of your future. Have you ever stood in a doorway? You know, you stand in a doorway and you're not really inside and you're not really outside because you're on the threshold. You can go either way. You can go in or you can go backwards and go out. You know, you're on the threshold of your decision to either make the new year what God wants you to have or not. This is the first Sunday of the new year, and you're on the threshold. Today is an important day. You will either decide to hold on to the past or walk into the future with God and His promises. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians 3, verses 13 and 14. I'm going to read from the New King James and also from the God's Word translation. If you've got one of your devices there, your Bible, or I got them here on my phone. I got them all here. If I got it on the devices, I can go to several different translations of that same verse by just punching. You know, if you just got, it's good though to have your heart. Even though I got the Word on three, on this and this, I usually always have my hard copy here with me too, you know. So, but Philippians 3:13-14, brethren, I do not count myself to apprehending, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, the God's Word translation says it like this: brothers and sisters, I can't consider myself a winner yet. This is what I do. I don't look back. I lengthen my stride, and I run straight toward the goal to win the prize that God's heavenly call offers in Christ Jesus. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote this late in his life, and yet he said there is still something out there. You know, sometimes if we're not careful, we get to a point that we just sort of settle down. But no, God wants us to continue to get a hold of His promises and begin to allow them to affect our future. You know, a farmer lives for harvest time. You know, he works all the year for harvest time. Now, he does not wait to harvest time to plant a seed. He doesn't wait for harvest time to get his equipment ready. It's during the times that is not harvest time, are not planting time, that he gets all the equipment and everything ready. You know, he knows that preparation time is critical to the actual performance of gathering the harvest. Every day counts toward the harvest. Y'all all know that Cameron's involved with racing and I've been involved with racing. Actually, if you talk to racers, they will tell you races are won at the shop. They're won at the shop. That's where you prepare the car. That's where you make sure that everything's in working order and nothing's going to break. And they'll tell you. And of course, you go out there and you go around the track and you say, oh, they won the race. But actually, that race was won many days beforehand when they, in preparation, getting the car ready to go to the race. If you don't take care of the car, you just go out there, pull it out to the racetrack, and I mean, you may make a few laps, something's going to break, because it's not ready. There was no preparation time. You see, how are you looking at today? Today does matter. Today is your D-Day. Decision Day. That's what it is. This is Decision Day. Decision Day, letting go or holding on to the past. Letting it go, holding on. See, you can't do anything about 2014. It's over. But do you know how many people will continue to hold on to the past? Decision day is about what you're going to do with your future. You know, you can live dragging a suitcase of the past around with you. Or you can live with the promises of God. The decision is yours. You know, today matters more than you think. You know, you can lug this suitcase of the past around with you that has everything in your past that does nothing to help you with the future. This suitcase full of the past does nothing to propel you forward to the future. Actually, it is a detriment to you. It is a hindrance. It's a heavy burden that you shouldn't be carrying around. You know, today is when we get ready for tomorrow's work. Now, as I minister, as you know, I always try to minister that will help you naturally and spiritually. So this is the day you get ready for tomorrow's work spiritually, tomorrow's work in the natural. Today is when you get ready for the adversities that you'll face tomorrow. Today is the day that you get ready for the opportunities that will come your way in the future. Today is the day we get ready for eternity. You know, the legendary basketball coach, John Wooden, he said, when opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. When opportunity comes, it's too late to prepare. Today is important because you have not accomplished everything that you can accomplish in life. Paul said, I do not count myself to apprehended. NLT says, no, dear brothers, I have not achieved. And the God's Word translation says, I consider myself not a winner yet. Today is the time to recognize that with all that's happened and all of that you've achieved, there is more to do with God. There's more out there. You know, as you look at your life, you have the future in front of you. Only 4 days. In just a few hours, about 6 more hours, or actually about 6 hours and 43 minutes, the fourth day of 2015 will be done. That's already 4 days of 2015 that you cannot do anything about. Whatever was accomplished, whatever wasn't accomplished, whatever will always remain the same. But now, this is the first Sunday out of 52 in 2015. You have 51 more Sundays to accomplish for God. So you prepare yourself right now. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. You know, John Maxwell said, the only adequate preparation for tomorrow is the right use of today. The right use of today. Now, I want you to notice, he said here, this one thing I do, forgetting the things that was behind. He decided that he would forget this suitcase full of the past. This is full of the baggage of the past. Now, you got to remember that Paul was the one that stood and told the people to throw the rocks harder and held their coats while they stoned Stephen. He was the one that traveled all over killing Christians. He also was the one that when he wrote this, forgetting the things they're buying, he had established a mega church in Ephesus. They say that there was somewhere between 20 and 40,000 members. He had the first mega church in Ephesus. He had to forget all of that. You know, what is in this suitcase that we carry around with us that we need to get rid of? Our mistakes, our failures, circumstances, situations that we couldn't control, negative memories, all of our successes and achievements. They're great. But what are they going to do for you tomorrow? That was yesterday. If you're going to be victorious, you got to be successful today and achieve today, because you can't live on yesterday's achievements. You can't live. See, he says, forgetting. Now, Strong's Concordance says, forgetting means to lose out of mind. Actually, I was looking it up in one of the dictionaries, and it said to neglect willfully. That means you choose to forget. Somebody said, I can't forget. Yes, you can. You can choose to forget. You can't change the past, but you can decide to get it out of your mind. You can choose to neglect the thoughts. Don't dwell on them. If you keep looking back, you will get caught in the trap of regret. Well, what if? If only. Come on. Don't look at me like that. A lot of you have been caught in that trap before. If only I'd have done this. What if I had made this decision instead of that one? That's the trap of regret. And as long as you're dwelling there, you can't go to the future. If you keep looking back and keep hanging on to this suitcase, this baggage of yesteryear, you'll either end up forgetting what the promises of God says, are using it to determine the possibilities of tomorrow. Now, a fellow by the name of Dwight D. Eisenhower. Anybody ever heard of Eisenhower? He was the 34th president of the United States. He was the one that masterminded D-Day, that changed the war, actually won the war, the World War II, for you young people. There's a lot of us gray hairs in here. See, you say, well, your hair's not gray. It would be if my wife wasn't a beautician. Somebody said, you don't mind saying it? No, I don't mind telling it. Don't bother me none. In fact, she don't like it to get gray, so she fixes it, you know. I told her, don't bother me, whatever. But I did notice that whenever I got the color on it and I look in the mirror, I look a lot younger. So I said, well, maybe I do like this after all. Dwight D. Eisenhower made a statement that I want you to listen to. Neither a wise man nor a brave man lies down on the tracks of history to wait for the train of the future to run over him. Now think about that statement for a minute. That's a good statement. You don't wait for the future. You prepare for it and then you move into it. You don't wait for it to overtake you. Now, I'm going to give you five reasons that you must neglect to neglect your past. Five reasons, okay? I'm going to give you five reasons. You can't change the past. So why allow it to clutter your mind? I read a statement made by Henry Ford one time, and he says, I don't allow anything, any statistics or anything to clutter my mind that I pay somebody else to have. I can get them from them. And, you know, you don't need to let anything clutter your mind that will keep you from the future, that will keep you from moving into what God's promises say. See, I'm talking about what the promises of God say. I'm talking about what we can do in the natural. I'm walking both sides of the road right now, okay? Now, you can't change the past. Now, number two, your past is not an accurate measuring stick of what is out in your future. Just because of what happened in the past doesn't mean that it is a measuring stick of what's going to be out here. Actually, what happened in the past actually should propel us into the future, because we will go forward and accomplish more. But some people, you know, you sit around and you talk to them, and they talk about, they're always talking about what happened, you know, some other time. What happened back then? See, dwelling on the past, number three, dwelling on the past will keep you from stepping into your future. You can't be inside and outside at the same time. You can't be in the past and be in the future at the same time. You're either in one or the other. Man, y'all looking at me so funny tonight. But this is just good, straight-out pastoral teaching is what I'm doing for you tonight. That's what a pastor's supposed to do. He's supposed to direct people's lives both in the natural and the spiritual. Isn't that right, Brother John? Brother John used to be a pastor. So I look back there and say, see, as long as he's agreeing with me, then I know I'm doing pretty good. All right, number four, dwelling in the past will give you the wrong picture of what the future is. Just because it was back there is no sign that it'll be out here, unless you put it out there. Okay? Now, number five, the best moments of your life is in front of you, not behind you. You can't go back there. It's history. It's over. Whatever I have been able, through God's help in the natural as well as in the spiritual, to accomplish and to achieve, thank God for it. But why stay there? Because I can't do any more. It's already history. I can't change it. I can't rewrite it. I can't relive it. But I can do something about the future. I can either take the promises of God and move on, or grab a hold of this old suitcase with all of the past, lug it around, and will hold me back. You know, you can't hold on to the past and go with God into the future. It don't work. You either let go of that, or you pick that up and let go of the baggage. Hey, and that baggage, it has, besides all the bad in there, there's the good in there. Remember, the Apostle Paul, he had the good and he had the bad. He said, I forget it all. I forget it all. You know, King Solomon was a wise man. He said, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. Decide to look forward. And then he said, Paul went on to say there, reaching forward to the things which are ahead. The Living Bible says looking forward to what is ahead. Paul turned his whole focus onto the future with the promises of God. Anybody in here ever run track in school? The cardinal rule is when you start the race, you focus on the finish and you don't look behind you. You don't look to the right or the left to see what's going on. You are focused on the finish line. That's because what's behind you is not going to help you to get to the finish line. In fact, you can't look back and maintain your speed going forward. You will slow down. You may not realize it, but you will. You can't even look to the right or left. You'll slow down. I ran the what they call back in the 50s, they called it the 220. They announced the 200 meters, but it was the 220-yard dash, and then I ran the 880 relay, which four guys run 220 yards. Now I'm running one day, and the starter fired the gun, and I always used to go around and try to find out, because they usually have three or four different guys that are starters at a track meet, and I used to try to find out who was going to be my starter. And I'd go to the races where and see, because they all have a different cadence. You know, on your mark, get set, pew, fire the gun. Man, this day, and you that run track know what I'm talking about, I was rolling out right on the gun. I mean, I hit it perfect. I mean, a split second before and I would have false started, but I was right on it. Now I'm flying down it was eight lane track. I'm flying down the very outside lane, and I'm flying down that. I'm in front of the grandstands, and most of the time you can hear, you don't look, but you can hear the other runners over here. Well, I couldn't hear nothing. I heard the crowd yelling, some of the cheerleaders yelling. But I didn't hear anybody's feet pounding the ground. I didn't hear anybody, breathing. And my mind, I said, stay focused, stay look, keep running. But my mind kept telling me, you false started and you're out here running down in front of this grandstand all by yourself like an idiot. And I tried to keep my, finally I just sort of glanced like this. And over in the first lane was another guy, seven lanes over from me. And he was just real little bit behind me. I mean, just a hair behind me. Well, I turned back around and turned it on. But that one glance to the side lost me the race by 1/100th of a second. I was in front. Till I looked away. I took my focus off of what I was supposed to be looking at. See, we have to keep our focus on what God's word says. I don't care what the circumstances say. I don't care what this one says or that one says or this preacher or that preacher. What does the Bible say? Any of you that knew my father, anytime you would go ask him anything, like a question about something, well, Brother Hagin, what about this? His answer, his stock answer, I never heard him give another, what does the Bible say? What does the Bible say? Over and over again, that's what he would say, tell you. I would go to him, Dad, what about this? What, son, what does the Bible say? Well, that wasn't the answer I wanted. I wanted him to tell me. But you see, when man tell you something, that's just him. But when you get what the Bible says, there's nothing you can do. It's either okay or I don't accept it. You can't, if some man tell you something, mom, dad, brother, sister, somebody else, that's just their opinion. What does the Bible say? That's what counts. What does God say? You know. Then, you know, he said, forgetting the things of my mind, but stretching, reaching for the future. Reaching. Stretching would be another word. Stretch ourselves. We need to stretch ourselves, get out of the comfort zone. Believe that God has a future, that what he promised in his word will work. You know, I played ball and I was fast. I was a center fielder for years. And then I started playing with my sons. And then I played fast pitch softball for a long time. And then Craig came around and we started playing. And then we lost all the fast pitchers and it was slow pitch. And I started playing that and played with him, you know. And finally, I had to move into first base because I didn't have that. I still had some speed, but, I mean, I wasn't speedy enough for that. But, you know, I if you're playing first base, you know, you stretch out to get the ball because when that ball hits your glove, that guy's out, especially on double plays. Now, I'm not going to do it, but one night I stretched out until I had to put my hand on the ground, and then I couldn't even get back up. I had to roll over. And I had stretched out there, and I heard that ball hit the glove, and I heard old Delbert, he always referee, I heard him holler, "Out!" you know. And I rolled over, come up off the ground. I said, "Was he really out?" He said, "I don't know, but it looked too good for him not to be." Just because I had stretched out as far as I could stretch. You know, you need to stretch out of your comfort zone. Stretch out with God. He'll meet you if you will. But see, the too many times we don't know whether we can make it or not. We don't know whether we can have it or not. You see, but if you want tomorrow's opportunity, you got to decide to capture today. Accomplishing all that we accomplish requires a series of daily steps. Abraham Lincoln said this, "The best thing about the future is that it comes one day at a time." Live it one day at a time. You know, too many people can't live today because they're worrying about what's going to happen 5 days from now. Well, 5 days from now will not get you anything unless you accomplish something today. If you don't accomplish today, you'll never accomplish 5 days from now. You got to take it one day at a time. Believe God one step at a time. You know, I've heard my dad say to people, they come, "Brother Hagin, I'm going to believe God for this." And he would say to them, "What is your faith level that high?" And they'd look at him, "What are you talking about?" He'd say, "Well, if you're lifting weights, you don't go in the weight room and grab 250, start off with 250 pounds. You start off by lifting 50, 60, 80, 90 pounds and build up." Do you realize that's the way it is with faith? Before you can have $500 faith, you got to have dollar faith. You know, a lot of people believing for a big amount. Before you can believe for the big amount, you got to be able to believe for the small amount. How many understand what I'm saying to you? You know, George Mueller, he started an orphanage in England years and years and years ago before we had anybody to help support him or anything. And he said, "After years of believing God, it's as easy for me to believe God now." And back that time, you know, about years ago, you know, $1,000 was something that was really a lot of money. He said, "It's just as easy now to believe for $1,000 after I built my faith as it was to believe for a dollar when I first started." Because over the years, it builds your faith. How many understand what I'm saying to you? It's a series of daily steps. Now, I want to give you six keys to help you step into the future from the word decide. Six keys from the word decide. Using the D, okay? D. Discover God's promises for your future. Your future is wrapped up in what God says. Discover. Okay, the E. Engage your mind to think on the plan for your future. What you focus on is what you will eventually end up doing. Okay? Now, the C, connect with the right people that will move you towards your future. You can't hang with people that are not godly and keep your godly attitudes. You can't experience God's promises by yourself. You need others to help. Now, I identify. See? D-E-C-I-D-E, okay? Identify the next step for your future. Now, I'm talking about, this is both spiritually and naturally. Maybe you need to go to school. Maybe it's a new job. Maybe it's a new relationship. Maybe it's something you need to improve in your life. Maybe it's letting go of this old suitcase full of yesterday that you've been dragging around with you for all these years. Identify whatever it is that you need to do to take the next step. And then D, dare. Dare to take the step. Now I want to say something. I want you all to get a hold of this. Dreams without action equals wishful thinking. Dreams without action becomes nothing more than wishful thinking. You know, a lot of people dream, but they never dare to take the step. They never step out. Oh, I believe God can do it, but they never take the step. I believe I could start this business. I believe I could do this, but they never do it. You have to have the courage to go out and do it. Okay, the last one, because it's time to quit. I'm 10 minutes over. I usually don't do that. I usually get over, but I'm 10 minutes over. Anybody getting anything out of this? Endure. E, endure. Until you experience your future. Never quit. If you won't quit, the promises of God won't quit. God never quits. It's always you. You know, that's always just been me. I mean, some people's personality is that way. That's just you. That's sort of the Hagen trait. In fact, if you look up our crest, it says victory or death. It's a crest, you know, it's got four deals. Four different sections, but down here on the banner on the bottom, it says victory or death. And that's just sort of the way all my cousins and my uncles and my dad and everybody, well, they just like that. I mean, Cameron, Craig's oldest, I mean, he's about 8 or 9 years old, and we had, Me and we had taken him with us playing some golf, and so he wanted to learn to play golf. He picked up a golf club, and we talked. He would not quit. He wore blisters on his hands swinging that golf club, incorrectly, but that's why he wore the blisters on his hand. But he wouldn't quit. And Lynette, I tell you, those boys right now, you get that. I don't know. I had them up at the gym. And, come on, boys, we got to go. All five of them up there. We got to go. Not one more shot, one more shot. They just won't quit. You know, my dad's youngest brother, Uncle Pat, my uncle, he and I were wrestling. And, I don't know, I was probably 18 or so. And we was wrestling in the living room of the house. And he got me one of these arm bars, had my arm up behind me, you know. And he said, say, Uncle. And I said, I'm not going to do it. And he said, you know, and finally I said, you're either going to have to break my arm or let me go because I'm not going to do it. And he just let me go and said, you're just like all the rest of us. You just won't quit, will you? I said, no, I won't quit. But you know what? That's the attitude you have to have when the enemy of our faith is coming in on top of us, trying to steal our finances, trying to steal our health, trying to steal our joy, trying to steal our happiness. We have got to say, no way, and start quoting the Word of God. Instead of saying, oh my God, what are we going to do now? We start saying, I'm a more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus. No weapon formed against me will prosper. And you just keep enduring. And when you do, if you won't quit, you will experience the promises of God. You know, tonight the choice is yours. Choose the suitcase of the past, or choose the promises of God and walk into the future. Another president, Ulysses Grant, 18th president of the United States, said, hold fast to the Bible. To this we must look as it to this we must look as our guide in the future. Not right there, not what happened before, not the past. This is our guide for the future. Heavenly Father, I tried to talk to these people for a few minutes tonight to stir up their minds, to realize that they have a future in the natural and they have a future in the spiritual with you and the promises of God. And may each of us walk into the future this year that you have for us. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. With every head bowed, every eye closed, if there happens to be one individual in here tonight that doesn't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, or you need to rededicate your life, or you go to church and you don't know whether you've ever received Christ as your personal Savior or not, I want to pray with you. Let me see your hand. I'll pray with you right now. Anybody? Well, praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please. If there's anybody that needs prayer for healing, if you'll step out and come up here to the front, we'll pray for you right now. Anybody need prayer for healing? Well, praise the Lord. Well, I guess not, so we'll just dismiss. Here comes somebody for healing. Oh, praise the Lord. I didn't see him coming up the side. Come right on here. Everybody reach your hands out as we pray for her right now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I thank you. The healing power of God's flowing into this body. Drive out sickness and disease. I thank you for completeness and wholeness in this body. In the name of Jesus, there's the power of God. Hallelujah. The anointing flowing. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Listen, if you're going to the game, see Greg and get your tickets. We're going to try to have, you know, we started having, went to Pops and we've had dinners here. We're going to try to have some kind of a social setting, something once a month, okay? Oh, yeah, they're going to be a super. Not S-U-P, but S-O-U-P-E-R, super party. You know, how many of you have enjoyed those before when we've had those? I mean, man, we got some good food and so forth. So we're going to do that again. All right. Pray for Yeah. All of y'all like her chili, but she's going to be out of town and doesn't get back into town until the Saturday, that Saturday night before the party's supposed to be. But she says she's going to make it ahead of time and freeze it. So I don't know how she's going to do all she's got to do. I'm looking at her calendar and I'm shaking my head. But anyway. Hey, it's going to be fun. Hey, tell everybody about it. Hey, next Sunday night, 6 o'clock, they started Saturday night services so you could be off on Sunday. We have Sunday night service so you'll be off the whole weekend and come and enjoy Sunday morning on Sunday night at 6 o'clock, Rhema Bible Church, OKC. Bring somebody with you. I'm going to one door. She's going to the other. We'll shake your hands. Be sure you shake hands with somebody tonight before you leave. Did you get anything out of what I said tonight? Good. Remember it.